There may not be any more important subject in terms of God's truth and God's application than the leadership of that spiritually in the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual leadership defines our lives. Whether you're an elder, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mother, whether you're an employee, employer, it's all leadership on some level all the time. And you put the spiritual essence of that in Jesus Christ, and man, it literally changes lives.
Well, good day to you all, and welcome to Live in the Light. My name's Craig, and I'm the host of this program, and our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, is here with us also. And we continue to be in the book of Acts today, specifically Acts chapter 20, and our message takes us back to this beach near Ephesus, this time for lessons in leadership. Life-giving lessons, in fact. Am I right, Robbie?
You are. You are very right. Again, Acts chapter 20, powerful, powerful portions of God's word. Today, Craig, we're going to see sheep, and we're going to see fierce wolves that are promised to enter into the church to try to attack the sheep. What do we do? I mean, in the day we live in, man, there are a lot of different fierce wolves kind of prowling around and seeking to take advantage of vulnerable sheep. And Paul has some just extraordinary encouragement and advice of what the elders here, again, Ephesus, are to do in terms of their leadership. That's why these lessons are life-giving, and may they have such an impact where you are. Maybe just they'll turn you into turning to prayer for the church that you're a part of, or just even the future you desire to see or the Lord might do in the body of Christ that you belong to. So we pray it'd be a great encouragement as we seek to lead as best we can in these very important days, and just reflecting on the time it's been and the time we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we need strong, strong, strong leadership that are truly seeking to follow Jesus. So that's what this passage and that's what this time is intended to do. Be encouraged, loved ones. As always, we love to hear from you. We love to know how the Lord is working in your heart and life. So we just don't take that for granted for our team here at Live in the Light. So please do not hesitate to let us know. And now we turn to Acts chapter 20 for the message. Again, we pray, which will encourage you greatly today. Amen.
Amen. Well, looking for encouragement today, let's dive into Acts chapter 20 and join up again with Pastor Robbie in today's message entitled Life-Giving Lessons in Leadership.
You can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, I'm so delighted to be with you today. So thankful for that. It's often a battle getting here. Once you get here, we have no more Kleenex in the seats anymore. Have you noticed that? So I had to make sure I got some from the room there over in the back, whatever. But I always love that we've been a Kleenex church. So one day soon we can return to that. We pray, Lord willing, by faith, at the right time. Acts chapter 20, you heard the Summer in the Psalm series that's starting this week. That is meant for groups, but our whole church. Hey, church, just make sure you look here for a second, okay? So good to see you today. So glad you're watching online. We're doing this because we love you, okay? We're trying to do as much as we can to feed and encourage and disciple the church. So we open our Bibles to Acts chapter 20, and what we see here in verse 25, actually, in verse 25 of Acts chapter 20, we see that Paul is explicitly saying this, and I'm trusting that most of us have been tracking where we've been in the last, 10 months? Yeah, 10 months, okay? He's saying this, he will never again see the Ephesian elders. Okay, so I want you to look at that in verse 25. He says, and none of you, and eventually he says, none of you will see my face again. Wow. None of you will see my face again. Now we know, look at verses 36 and 38. We know in our context here, these guys, Paul, the Ephesian elders, they loved each other. Verses 36 and 38, it's this beautiful scene that is described. As Paul's about to leave, they all kneel down on the beach. They pray and they weep. They weep because they love each other so much. What a beautiful love displayed here, and for us to emulate as well. Now, if you're Paul, okay, again, and you know this is your reality, Well, what happens, right? When you know this is your reality, this is your final chance to speak to the Ephesian elders because the Lord has revealed to you, you're not going to see these guys ever again, not face to face. What does that change for you? By the way, again, when you're in God's word, live in the text, live in the text. Put yourself there. Imagine the emotion of the moment. Imagine the urgency. Imagine the clarity. Imagine the feeling of this. This is what Paul will be going through. You have these final words to speak to these Ephesian elders. You'd be packed with love, packed with importance. This is not some casual conversation. This is a conversation of critical nature. In fact, in some ways, this isn't far from a scene, let's say, of someone on their deathbed. And they have a few moments left or a few days left to say what matters most to them in all of life to the people that are gathered around their deathbed. It's not far from that here. This is in part what Paul would be feeling. I only got these few sentences I can say face to face. What's it going to be? What am I going to choose to talk about? And the person lying in their deathbed, they will look at their loved ones as they gather around and they will not waste a word. They will say again what is most meaningful and matters most to them. And so what Paul does here, he takes the elders aside and he pours into them this essential message for this moment. And what he does, so interestingly, he gives them life-giving lessons of leadership. That's our sermon title, Life-Giving Lessons in Leadership. Again, our context is elders, which is wonderful, but what we're about to hear transfers to every single person listening, watching here with us right now. Because here's what we know, here's what Paul knows. As the leaders go, the church goes. Every single time. As go the leaders, so go the church. It's really the design of God. What I love too, this is the third week in a row in Acts chapter 20, we have receiving some form of ecclesiology from the Lord. Some form of direct teaching on the study of the church as we begin to regather. I'm so thankful for that. It's so needed. It's so perfect. And this is really heightening the sense of spiritual leadership. I love spiritual leadership. There's just kind of one passion I seek to pursue in terms of God's word. It's spiritual leadership because it impacts everything. There may not be any more important subject in terms of God's truth and God's application than the leadership of that spiritually in the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual leadership defines our lives. Whether you're an elder, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mother, whether you're an employee, employer, whether you are a dad or a friend, I mean, it's all leadership on some level all the time. And you put the spiritual essence of that in Jesus Christ, and man, it literally changes lives probably more than any other thing. That's what God does. So much of this book, so much of the New Testament is an aspect and focus of spiritual leadership. And our text is no exception today. So here we go, life-giving lessons in leadership. Point number one from Paul to the Ephesian elders he'll never see again is this. Number one, watch the flock with care. Watch the flock with care. Verse 28, Paul, he begins his direct exhortation to the Ephesian elders. Look at verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Interesting. Notice, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Notice that phrase there, pay careful attention. It carries the meaning of being a watchman. Visualize this with me, standing at your post, guarding, vigilance, not falling asleep, being alert. Again, seeing, making sure that people are cared for, the enemy is not coming, all that kind of stuff. What an important principle for the Christian life. Absolutely fundamental. Pay careful attention to the flock entrusted to you. So important, fundamental, especially for the church leader. You know, one of the greatest burdens of the church and my church leadership over the last 20 years is this, is that you can't really relax. I'm not saying you can't rest. What I mean is you can't relax your guard from the attempts of the enemy and opposition. You just can't let your guard down. The enemy, the devil, Satan, he rolls around like a roaring lion, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He never rests. Just when you think he's kind of like fed up, and he comes back and he takes seven more demons with him to try to destroy the person entirely. He's just, he knows his time is short. He's just unrelenting, unceasing in his desire to destroy and to discourage and to dismantle the things of Jesus Christ. And to be honest, you know, I think of, for me, 20 years of church leadership in some form, it's just that that's the one thing that can exhaust me the most, knowing this isn't going to end until heaven. Because you're like, can I keep doing this? You know, if you think of a boxer, not that I know much about boxing, but I know just enough. A boxer keeping his guard up, especially if you're right-handed, the left hand, the guard that is here in both hands, you're guarding the most critical part of your head and not being knocked out. And it's amazing. It's the boxers get cocky and arrogant, and they start to like do a little dance, put their hands down, they do their dance, whatever, and all of a sudden, bam, sucker punch, there they go on the canvas, done. And it's amazing in the Christian life to keep your guard up, to watch with all vigilance. It's amazing how often Christians, I see all the time, I feel all the time, you just go, I'm okay. I'm okay, I'm good, man. Actually, I saw a victory yesterday, I'm good. Walk around like this, like, hey, you're tempting, whatever. And next thing you know, boom, just get nailed. And the believer, the brothers on the floor, drool coming out of their mouths, and you're like, dude, you gotta get up, man. Get your guard up. And what's so exhausting for me, sometimes your hands get tired, don't they? They just get tired. Just, I don't wanna keep my hands up. I just wanna put them down. By God's strength and God's grace and God's spirit, you're always ready every day, even on vacation. Even when things seem to be calm, you wake up vigilant. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. Notice again in verse 28, notice that order, ready? Watching to yourselves, one, then to the flock, two. Why is that so important for leadership? Well, here's why. How do you care for others when you yourself are lying in the ditch? How do you ignite someone else's fire when your fire's gone out? How can you possibly sense that you're able to, again, transfer life and energy and encouragement and passion when you yourself are lukewarm and just kind of fading away? You can't do it. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you don't go. And going through Acts in this way, it only heightens in some ways. So fresh for me, only heightens Paul's epistles. Look what Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. Look at how close this is to our text today. Keep a close watch on yourself, Timothy, and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Keep a close watch on yourself, young Timothy. Get your guard up, man. Don't let it down, because if you persist in this, you will not only save yourself, but the hearers that are there, because you're handling life and death with the gospel every day. It's so critical. You know, I'll speak for myself. I'm no good to anyone if I'm falling apart. And this past season requires some very careful assessment. You know, it's been so unique for all of us, including pastors and leaders. There's many articles coming out as you start to assess the demands, most of it even subconsciously, upon pastors and leaders in the church, and just the way things are going and the flock being scattered and all the burdens, and especially in certain circumstances. There's been many articles that people have predicted, get ready for the pastoral burnout in the weeks and months to come. Just get ready for it. All the signs are there. I've been in ministry long enough to say that makes sense. If you're not careful, and if you try to play hero and go Messiah and whatever it is, and again, I think the hearts are so good. The hearts are so right. But you got to be so careful in seasons like this, that have no one's ever gone through this before in this way. There's no comparisons. There's no seminary class for it. No people, hey, what I did during the last pandemic, I did. There's just none of that. And the needs and the temptation for division in the church and the different opinions, all those things that are happening, just piles. And you know what I'm super concerned about, and just again in the years of ministry, how few pastors, elders, leaders of significant responsibility, how few of them actually have direct heart accountability in their lives. They're caring for everyone else. No one's caring for them. And that's their fault. That's my fault. To have people, I ask brothers, sisters often now, because I've seen this as such a problem, and I ask myself this, who in your life actually cares for your heart and knows you on your worst day? Who do you have? Because if you don't have that, the number one reason pastors get out of ministry, they don't have that, what's called a confidant in their lives, of actual relationship where they can pour their hearts out and not fear of being judged or held up in some way, they're gonna lose their job. This is why Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves first. You pay careful attention, man, because when you're healthy, man, the church has a much, much greater chance of being healthy as well. Healthy, strong leadership then has the capacity to watch over the flock. It just makes sense. Notice the amazing insert in verse 28 here too. See it there? He says, in which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. You see that? In which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. So elders here, we learn, elders are not appointed here by humans. They're not voted in by humans. Elders in this sense right here in this text are appointed by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how does that happen? A Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church is aware of the leaders that God is raising up and exalting and appointing within them. And it becomes obvious to all. And then notice the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. That you may care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. If that doesn't put the fear of God in your leadership, I'm not sure what will. You know, I think about the burdens of leadership over these past several months. I think it's important at times just to share my heart, share the hearts of our elders as well. I think of the leadership burdens again over the past several months, and honestly, I think they've been beautiful burdens, beautiful burdens. Haven't always wanted to say that. But think about it, longing to know how the flock is doing, but you can't see you. You know, like staring into a camera week after week and just like, I wonder how they're doing. And I wonder where they are, and I wonder like how's it going really? You know, you get little tidbits and points of data, and you're trusting the leadership and structure and the groups and whatever, but what about the people on the peripheries? We all go through seasons we've never been through before. I really think this has taken a toll on some of our staff, and I don't think some of them can even describe it for you. I don't think they can even articulate why they're feeling the way they're feeling fully. I've been in an unprecedented season of separation. But the all-out desire to care and shepherd and disciple, the all-out desire to love the flock. It's hard to watch the flock when you can't see the flock. I'm trying to imagine a shepherd caring for his sheep by Zoom. That would be tough, wouldn't it? Hey, come back here. I see you. You're out of the screen. Where'd you go? You know, like, that'd be pretty tough. And in some ways, that's what we've been seeking to do. In some ways. Again, I think of all these different issues, and then in recent weeks, the racism issue which erupts, and my heart personally has been ripped apart. God, help us lead well, help us care well. You know, the enemy is so hard at work in all of this. The enemy seek and try every single situation that comes up. The enemy is trying to divide as much as ever. Think about it. All the attempts of division. It's important just to say these things out loud. Are the enemy tempting for people to be divided on the different views of COVID-19 and how to respond? The different views on regathering? The enemy trying to use that to divide? The creating understanding on this massively important issue of racism? The enemy trying to use that in different ways? In some ways, I look on the last couple of months, and personally, I've never encountered a season of burden of leadership than in the past 3.5 months. Never. But I got to tell you, like, as I look back upon it, though, and I say to, you know, friends and loved ones and church members, too, is that I do think there's a privilege in it, and I do think there's a huge blessing. Because when you get weight put on you, and it's a heavier weight than you felt before, and you have God's strength where you're able to press up against that weight, what happens is your muscles do get stronger. And your spiritual strength increases. And that's always the way it's been and always the way it will go. So as much as this past season has been unexpected, not prepared, in a one sense, I'm really trusting God. It's going to be very beautiful, and it has been beautiful. But again, I want you to hear the heart as I express the heart of the elders of this church too. Deep desiring to see the privilege of caring, and yet, Lord, we need you to do what only you can do. Don't you see as you come to this text, this is in large part with the elders. We long to be together. Like, this is why. You long to be together because then you can watch and care and feed and protect the flock and to be there together and to have the sense of love and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. At least you can appreciate, if you're watching right now or here right now, at least you can appreciate the longing for that spiritually and according to the Bible. And that's good. That's good. After all, it's the church which God obtained by the blood of his Son. Is there anything more precious than that? Watch the flock with care. Watch the flock with care. And notice inherent in this text, you have a local church, local elders, local love. A local church appointed with local elders and manifesting local love. And I want you to see in this case how the love is primarily manifested. Point number two, watch the flock, then protect the flock from wolves. Look at verse 29 again. This is his last speech he can say. This is what he chooses to say. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock, for I know, verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish every one of you with tears. Notice this. So now we see Paul's burden for watching with vigilance. Why? Because the enemy's lurking. The enemy's lurking with murderous intent. The flock of sheep metaphor is carried on here with the introduction now of wolves. But notice, not just wolves, fierce wolves. Fierce wolves. Fierce means savage, evil, wicked, murderous. And notice these wolves will come from without. Notice the description. They won't spare the flock. They will not. There's nothing nice in them. Their intent is single-minded, ravage and ruin the church. I mean, just recently reading in the Gospels, in the Sermon on the Mount, and my own readings, and in the book of Matthew, when Jesus says, beware, for false teachers will come among you, wolves in sheep's clothing. It's just so clear the things that we need to expect as a church and as pastors and as elders now. Paul says, no, in the text, he says, I know, see that? I know, verse 29, I know this will happen. He's already seen it. He knows it's going to happen again. Think about this. How much of Paul's epistles, he wrote 13, how many of Paul's epistles are dedicated to false teaching? All of them contain substantial portions of God's written and holy word, the one book he's given to us, and the amount of real estate that God has put in these in terms of watch out for false teaching. You think it matters to the Lord? You think protecting the flock is important to God and the leadership of the church? You think the truth matters to God? Do you think he cares for the well-being of your hearts and minds in terms of the world that we live in? And the attack of information and false teaching we receive on a daily, you think that matters? You better believe that matters to the Lord. He says, I know this is going to happen. From the inception of the church in Acts, the onslaught of false teaching that seeks to destroy the church. And therefore the diligence and the vigilance that is required to protect the church in our day. You stop and you think of history and you think of right now, though you think the incessant and unceasing varieties of false teaching and false deception that plagues the church. We've got to protect the flock from wolves. Notice the wolves that come fiercely from without, but notice the wolves that come within. Notice he says there at verse 30. In verse 30, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Stare at that verse for a second. Everyone at home, look at that verse carefully. Notice, the wolves come from without. Sometimes easier to spot, but then the wolves from within. The wolves in sheep's clothing, but wolves nonetheless. You know, one of the things we overlooked in this pandemic is our church had its 16th birthday. Oops, that's understandable though, right? There's a lot going on, just online, all that kind of stuff. We 16 years old, I guess that means we can get our license, whatever that means now, I have no idea. But I think back over the years, you look at the history of our church and I think of the attempts of people who slide into the church. Like I have stories in my mind right now, man, and some very hard moments of people who come in and they look like one thing. And you know, I was convinced in certain areas of memory, just seeing person all of a sudden, over time, all of a sudden, I think one of the main things that happens here, notice in the text, they speak twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That's one of the greatest signs of false teaching and wolves in the church. They try to rise up and get people to follow them as opposed to Jesus Christ. And we've had that happen in our church over the years. Some small, some not small. Men and women wandering around the church whispering twisted things, looking for the vulnerable, the naive. And, you know, I look back upon 16 years and I think of the journey of protection. Wow. These wolves in sheep's clothing, so seductive, so subtle often, so sinister. And you know what? These wolves speaking twisted things into the church, it's happening right now in our church. You say, how do you know? Because it's always happening, loved ones. It's always happening. Maybe there's some watching right now and their intents are just flat out evil. There's no desire for good, for Christ. It's just desire for self. It's always happening. People seeking to form cliques, draw followers to themselves, away from the church, away from Christ, toward their own wicked agendas. They get after themselves. I think of, again, heart of a shepherd, the desire of elders here. We're in this pandemic. Pandemic brings distance. And distance and isolation, the Bible says, leaves people very vulnerable. People who don't want to be isolated from the church have been forced to be isolated in some measure, at least physically and in proximity, away from the church. They're away from the natural protection of the body. Do you know the natural protection of this room right now? Do you know God's design and what he brings? How many people have wandered in or in different forms of the expression, local body, again, in groups, whatever, ministries, and they come in and they're brought and they're surrounded and protected. And it's just like an animal under attack. And I love nature shows, an animal under attack from, let's say, some kind of big lion. And so often, like the buffalo, they will gather around. They will circle the weak. And they will protect, again, their young and vulnerable. That's what the church does. But you get isolated, you get away from the body, and all of a sudden, you're super vulnerable. Maybe some of you watching right now, that's where you are. Come back.
Well, amen. Thankful for Pastor Robbie's message today. God is good, isn't he, listeners? We hope that this series and this message in particular is encouraging you as you continue on in your life following Jesus Christ. But we want you to be aware that there are other messages and other series that we pray would be an encouragement to you as well. And if you'd love to check those out, please make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light. I wanna